Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Mike Hirsch, and we are in a good mood, and we hope you are too. Vikings fans, you have a new stadium. Stadium legislation passed late last week. Governor Mark Dayton signed the bill into law earlier this week. What does it all mean? Well, it means the decade-long stadium impasse that has plagued the franchise and the state of Minnesota is over. Groundbreaking for the new stadium begins in 2013. The stadium is scheduled to open in 2016. In the meantime, while the stadium is being constructed, the Vikings and the University of Minnesota have reached a preliminary agreement that will allow the Vikings to play at TCF Bank Stadium. Those are the basics. And one more thing, too, that a lot of you ask about and wondering about is the roof on the new stadium. Right now, the bill calls for the stadium to have a fixed roof, but there is a provision in the bill that allows the Wilfs to elect to have a retractable roof. Now, that's going to be their decision. If they want the retractable roof, they're going to have to pay for it. Just a guess at this point, though, we're going to predict that the retractable roof will happen. The Wilfs will foot the bill. They have a history of doing things the right way with the Vikings organization, building things in a first-class way, and we think they're going to build this facility, the stadium, in a first-class way. No better way to do that than to add the retractable roof. That's our prediction. Now, that's the business side of this story. It was a dollars and cents and a business issue for the franchise, for fans, for the state of Minnesota, for the legislature, but this is also an emotional issue, a quality of life issue, and we can think of no one better to convey the emotional side of this issue than longtime Vikings fan and longtime stadium proponent Larry Spooner. Larry steps into the studio. He's our guest on today's Wobcast. Larry, how you doing?
This is fantastic. What a great feel. If this is anything like after we win the Super Bowl this February, I don't know if I can handle it.
New stadium, your thoughts?
Hey, it's cool. I mean, yeah, no doubt. I've been a little exposed over the years on this and have been acknowledged publicly a little bit. But you know what? Seriously, this has been such a collective effort. You know, I've been part of a major group. I think the Viking fans really have spoken. They basically, when we knew push came to shove, they spoke up. And I'm just one of many. I mean, I truly believe that this thing got passed and Ziggy upped the money due to one reason, the passionate Viking fans, all of us.
And I believe what you're saying because more so than in any other year or any other legislative session, we heard some of the lawmakers say, I can't believe how many emails I'm getting or how many calls I'm getting. I mean, you heard some of that too, right?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, granted, I heard a couple mention that, you know, some of them were just the generic type, but yeah. The bottom line was that's what they got. We had an influx of emails, obviously, for the last several years over there, but realistically, since the season ended, we knew going into this offseason, this is it. It all got ramped up on every level from the fans to the Vikings to the ownership. Then it all fell apart, seemingly, about 4 Mondays ago. Wasn't sure how it was going to work when we had the big man come to town, how that would be
Roger Goodell.
That would be received. You know, who are you coming to town telling us what to do? Mm-hmm. No. Immediate report seemed to have an impact. And I'm telling you, the ball started to roll that day. And I'm just stunned that here we are. We are in the process of actual talking about the design, not should we, could we, will we. Not quite yet, but darn close.
Just a little bit of background. This is Larry Spooner, a longtime Vikings fan and longtime stadium proponent who's joining us on the Wobcast today. Larry, I mean, explain to people how long you've been a fan and kind of your background living here in Minnesota, working here in Minnesota, and how long you've been supporting getting a new stadium here in Minnesota.
I was born in 1960, got reunited with my real dad through Viking football, became a walk-around vendor at the old outdoor Metropolitan Stadium.
No kidding.
As far as getting involved with the stadium stuff,
sitting
on my deck, summer 1997, during the Twins stadium deal, read a little blip in the paper that you could testify, call a number, sign up for the Twins. I dressed up in everything I could purple, knowing that if the Twins leave the Dome, we're going to be leaving soon. So I went down during the Twins deal, didn't really read the rules of etiquette or anything that you're supposed to do. kind of rambled a little bit, as you know I can. Woke up the next day, every radio called me in the morning asking me if I was six-pack Joe. Lauren Jennings, who chaired the meeting that I testified in, kind of labeled me six-pack Joe to the media because I spoke to the legislators like I'm hanging out with my buddies at a sports bar. I didn't have a lot of education as far as how you address, and I just kind of spoke from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Was approached by the Minnesota Twins lobby group, actually. After that, they liked what I did, and I pretty much told them I'm with the purple. It's all for the purple. I can't speak for you because it's just the purple. So got in hold of Lester Bagley years and years ago.
He's our vice president of stadium development and public affairs.
Yep. And pretty much said, hey, explain him what I was doing. I was putting stickers on the mirrors in the bathroom in the dome saying you'd be back at your seat if we're in a new stadium. Started hanging banners on Washington Avenue. Just subliminal messages as far as the new stadium.
A huge part of this was the emotional side of it. And you're a great example of that, of someone who lives and dies by the team on a weekly basis. And it's not like you're in the minority here. There are a lot of people who do that. And that's just one thing. I'm glad that didn't get overlooked, the emotional side of this issue and the quality of life of having a team in the state.
Well, I agree 100%. That sports public funding, its popularity is its worst enemy when it comes to public funding because everybody knows the monies. What the players are making, what the owners make. The bottom line is there's magical stuff that happens with sports. No other industry you can be in a public place and hug and high-five a complete stranger. It doesn't happen when 3M stock splits. Right. It's a different animal. And I tell you what, I mean, you know what? A lot of us don't have a lot going on as far as stuff in life, and following professional teams, it is a quality of life deal. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for the game? We here in Minnesota, half a year for 50 years, whether you like them or not, it's the Vikings are truly the main thread in the fabric of our sports culture.
Yes.
Seriously, can you imagine if it would have been a no vote and Ziggy, I don't think Ziggy would ever personally move the team, but let's just say he got out of the business, then they're probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of this, I honest to gosh, I think that's what got everyone's attention. Everyone knew that this team was a free agent and there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be knocking on the door.
Yeah, a great Minnesota Vikings fan, Larry Spooner, is our guest on today's Wobcast. Co-chair of Minnesota Momentum is something that we can call you.
That's my official title.
Yeah, that's
When I go down and testify, it's sometimes I'll use the title to get in, but a lot of times I just go down and I go down on my own,
yep.
So I can speak on my own and I'm not embarrassing the Vikings too much or not.
Well, no, not at all. You're a great help to us. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you referenced packing boxes, and you said you had a boss. So what do you do every day for work? You're just a normal everyday Joe walking the streets?
51 years old.
Yeah.
I'm a warehouse supervisor. My boy is about to be deployed on a submarine. I'm waiting for the call, a complete life-changing deal for my boy. It's the proudest thing in the world of seeing what's going on there. I'm married, live in Plymouth, grew up in Excelsior, Minnesota.
Yeah.
I just love the Vikes, just everything about it. And as far as, three out of four homes follow the Vikes football. I mean, I've been so many people that I've met this last week that have come by the Capitol. We've had pretty much a good influx of people coming and hanging out in the gallery to walking the halls to coming out. We kind of set up a tailgate area out front for the last several weeks. But it's all been worth it. I mean, now that we have this set up, this is going to be a beautiful facility. I think we're going to be extremely proud of this place. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait to kind of get the ground going.
You said tailgating. You're no stranger to that ritual. Tell us about your tailgating experiences. They're legendary.
Tailgating is kind of my main deal. Uh-huh. Barbecue ribs is my specialty. I usually do 120 pounds on 12 to 15 full-size Webers. I cut the legs off to 2 feet.
Per game?
Yes, Process starts out on a Monday. I'll bore you with it later, but I usually arrive at 10:30 Saturday night.
Wow.
Every 45 minutes, we have to babysit the ribs a little bit, and it's just the perfect thing for me to do while I wait for everybody to come and join me.
Yeah. All right, so you talked about in the 70s, you're a vendor at Met Stadium. You go to a lot of games, you're a season ticket holder, tailgating, working so hard with us to get the stadium bill passed. Your lifetime as a Viking fan, what are some of your favorite memories?
Well, you know, one of my all-time favorite memories, I don't know if it's a favorite memory, but, you know, being a big Viking fan, my dad passed away 12 years ago, and just in an ironic twist of Viking fate, the night before he died, and I don't know if this is a favorite memory, but this is truly one of the memories, the volunteer nurse that was taking care of my dad was Pat Grant, Bud Grant's wife.
Yeah.
Did not realize that, saw her name tag that said Grant, asked if there's any relation to Bud.
Yeah, thinking that's, it was a long shot. Absolutely. Probably not, but I'll check.
Next day, Pat Grant brought in Bud's retirement poster.
Wow.
Signed by Bud. I missed when they brought the poster in. All my family was elbowing me, telling me, hey, look what they brought. And I was kind of telling my wife, going, hey, I got the same print at home. It's a print. About an hour went by. We had the poster above my dad's bed. He had passed away at this time. And that's when I just saw for the first time that, no, Bud did sign it. He actually took a gray marker out. My dad's the same name. And, you know, to Larry, thanks for the support. Had the poster brought to my dad's funeral, purple and gold flower and arrangements. And the priest actually said, I don't like to use sports analogies with funerals, but with Larry Spooner, let's just say his heart was a lot like the Viking offense this year. It just stopped. And I tell you, it was done appropriate, and yet it just goes to show. I mean, I can't even go to my dad's funeral without a reference to Viking, but yeah. I was honored the way it was injected.
Vikings fan and great guy Larry Spooner is our guest on today's Wobcast. Before we get going, I got to ask you. So we're going to break ground on this thing in 2013. I told Lester and Mark Wolf, I brought my shovel to work. I'll go start breaking ground right now, but they wouldn't let me. We have to wait a little while. Are you going to go in there and, like, check in every day on this stadium? This is, like, you got to feel a little bit of ownership in this thing.
I tell you what, you know, the only good thing at not being up in Arden Hills for me, I'll be riding by it every single day. But, yeah, it's going to be kind of cool from stadium cam going to just watching the progress of this. I mean, it really will be cool just to watch the evolution of this and really this whole area on the east end of Minneapolis really – finally evolved to something that they fantasized when they built the dome. You know, granted, there were some technologies that were not there back then, but right now, I mean, this, like I say, I just beg all the people that voted no politically, come check it out and tell us what you honestly feel when this is done, if it was a good move or not.
Do you think this is what it feels like to win the Super Bowl? What do you think?
Hey, the worst thing about this whole deal is, what a buzzkill when we win the Super Bowl in February.
Oh.
I'm telling you, ever since the stadium news, it's ever like since the bill's cleared, the weather has cleared, we've been jinxed ever since we moved into the dome. You can say all you want about the Dallas Hail Mary game. Hey, talks were already underway of moving indoors then.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. We start out of the gate. We play Jacksonville at home. We're 1-0. We go to Indianapolis with Luck, a rookie quarterback. We're 2-0.
Yep.
We come home against Tennessee. We're 3-0. Can you say bandwagon? All on board. How ironic would it be if we were to win the Super Bowl this
year?
What?
It would make a lot of sense.
I'm telling you, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Carl Gerbschmidt ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think we do better than a lot of people think, and, you know, the NFL is just one of those sports that if you can get some early momentum, it seems to be just one of those deals that builds, like when Brett was here.
Yep, So it's like a reverse jinx. The stadium passing is a reverse jinx on us. Larry, we're a big fan of you. You're a big fan of the Vikings, but we're a big fan of you. Thanks for coming down and joining us.
Hey, like they say, no one fan's bigger than all of us brothers and sisters out there.
Thanks,
Larry. Skull, baby.
One more thing before we go, in case you missed it late last week, Adrian Peterson provided an update to us as he rehabs the knee injury he suffered late last season. Adrian said he is ahead of schedule and has been from the start. Great words to hear out of his mouth. Adrian says he'll be surprised if he's not ready to play in week one. Awesome to hear. The Vikings, though, specifically head athletic trainer Eric Sugarman, he's stressing caution, says the Vikings will refuse to rush him back too soon and risk further exposure to injury. And I think that's key. You know, Adrian, this is a good mix, Vikings fans. Adrian is determined to get back soon and be ready at the start of the season. The Vikings are determined to make sure Adrian is ready to come back before they put him on the field. I think that's a good mix. Check out the update that Adrian provided on the website. We have a highlight of the workout that he gave for reporters. You can catch that on Vikings.com. All in all, it was good news. We're not putting anything past Adrian. If he says he's going to be ready for week one, Adrian is going to be ready for week one. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with a hit from Soundgarden. Take it away.